Now today in your Bibles, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 15, we're looking at John chapter number 15 in your Bibles today, and I hope that what we bring to you will be a real help to you. John chapter number 15, I just want to use one verse of Scripture. The Bible said, verse number 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Father, will you help us today and use us for your glory in Jesus' name? Will you honor these messages? And I know that you will this message today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know that this chapter in John 15, we're talking about the vine here, but I want to take one text verse of Scripture here that's talking about the Word of God and talking about being clean. Now, Jesus tells the disciples here, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Did you know this day that the Bible will clean you? That's why that it's very important that you have a daily time in the Scriptures. Now, whether you read your Bible through or whether you take a time to read the Bible, but you need to be cleaned by the Word every day. Now, you know, cleanliness is something that we do, especially here in America. We clean every day. We wash our hands and present ourselves as clean to the world. You know, if we go out to do our jobs or whatever we do, and so in this thought, the Word of God spiritually is the water that will clean you. And you'd be surprised, maybe you would, at the people that are born again, saved by grace. You're born again. You're saved. But you do not have a daily cleansing in the Word of God. And I want to show you some things today. I hope if you got a Bible, I hope you can stay with me. I hope that we may go a little bit slower, but I want to show you some things about the Word of God cleaning you. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Now, I've often related this illustration on radio. I've used it many times about the little boy and his grandpa going fishing. And when they got through fishing, the grandpa told the little boy, said, "Now take this bucket down to the pond and clean it." And the little old bucket was old, and it had dirt in it and red worms and all that kind of thing. And so the little boy took it down there and filled it up full of water. And he came back, and the water was squirting out the top and out the sides and out the bottom. And he said, "Pa," he said, "this bucket's got holes in it." He said, "It won't hold water." And he said, "Well, that's all right, son." He said, "Take it back down there and do it one more time." The little boy went back down to the pond and filled that bucket full of water and brought it back, and it's shooting out the bottom, out the sides. And he said, "Pa," he said, this bucket," he said, "it's just got holes all in it." He said, "That's all right, son." He said, "Take it back down there and do it one more time." And on the way down, the little boy thought, maybe Pa's losing his mind. I wonder why I'm having to do this. And so he goes down there one more time, and he dips that bucket in the water, and he brings it up, and water's shooting out the bottom and out the sides. And he brings it to his Pa, and he said, "Pa," he said, "I'm telling you again," he said, "this bucket is full of holes." And he said, "It ain't holding water." And the old man said to the young boy, he said, "That's right, son." But he said, "Look on the inside." And he looked in there. He said, "Ain't it cleaner than it was when we started?" Now, friends, you may not be able to hold all of the Word of God. You'll never be able to retain all the Word of God. And I think we all miss it sometimes where we think that we're supposed to just automatically learn. I remember a little boy was in my class in the fourth grade, and I remember the teacher telling him one day, she said, "I can't take a drill and drill in your head and pour in there everything you know and need to know. And you get things little by little, and you get things by just being clean, you see. I might not be able to understand everything that I read." And when you're reading your Bible, don't try to understand everything that you read. Just let the Holy Spirit give you those parts that you need. All right, now, so today I'm looking at this Scripture. "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." May I say to you that we have dirt and filth upon us from this old world, and we must must be cleansed. Amen. Now, let me show you some things. I'm talking to saved people primarily today. Now, if you're lost, I want you to get saved. But I'm talking primarily to Christian people today. Now, the word clean, let's take the word clean here and look at it. It means pure. I mean, if you want to live a pure life for God, I'm not talking about Phariseeism, I'm not talking about legalism, but I'm talking about a pure life in God, then you'll be clean by the Word of God. All right, you'll be clean by the Word. This word clean, it means pure, it means clear, it means clean, it means clear. Amen. Your life won't be all muddy. You'll have a clear life. You know, there's some people, they're so churchy and so worldly, you can't tell the difference in them. And by the way, that's where people like to live in this day and time. People like to have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. But I tell you, when you begin to read your Bible spiritually and you let the spiritual man take over your life, you won't have all that mud. You look down in some water and it be clear, and you could actually just see your face in there because it's so clear. I praise the Lord. Amen. Clear. Amen. It means in a similitude like a vine. It means cleansed by purging, and so fitted to bring forth fruit. That's what this means. Now, the Bible even talked about here about Jesus purging the vine. Now, the Word of God will purge you. And that's why many people don't like it. They don't like, but do you not realize, and I wish Christian people, and I think one thing we've screamed at people, and don't get me wrong, I've got nothing wrong with loud preaching, but I think we've took some of the doctrines of the Bible, and instead of trying to make people understand them, I think we've screamed at them, and we've throwed little religious slurs, and I think it's cut some people's spiritual ears off from hearing the Word of God. So let me help you. Growing in the Lord, when you get saved and you start going to church, and all of a sudden the preacher preaches something and the Holy Spirit says, uh-oh, you're guilty of that. And you go home and you get that little limb out of the way, and then you go back and the next service and the Holy Spirit preaches again, the preacher preaches again, the Holy Spirit says, uh-oh, you're guilty of that. And you go, uh-oh, there's another limb. And you think, man, your tree's going to get cut down. I mean, the Holy Spirit's thinning out all the limbs. But do you realize by thinning those limbs out, in due season, in the next season, you're going to bear more fruit. They tell me that my grapevine needs pruning so that the next year it's going to bear more fruit, you see. And so nobody likes to get pruned. And so when you hear, for instance, I'm going to give you one. The dressing issue is a big issue in our day. Now, people have accused me of a lot of things and saying a lot of things and preaching a lot of things. And I'm going to say this to you. Without apology, women ought to look like women, and men ought to look like men, and not just in the church. There ought to be a dress standard at the house. Amen. And we're preaching that now. Most preachers are saying it like this. Well, what you do at home is your business. Wait a minute. If you had a church member at home and they were drinking liquor, would you say, well, what you do at home? No, you wouldn't say that. I tell you what the problem is. Most preachers are afraid to say anything about how people dress. Now, I'm gonna clarify something. When I come into a church to preach a revival meeting or a conference or whatever, the Lord opens the door for me to preach, and I see people there indecently dressed, I never suddenly feel led to preach on that issue. That's primarily the pastor's job to straighten that out in the church. That's not my job to come in and straighten all that out. Although I have a right to preach anything in the Bible that the Holy Spirit would lead me to preach on, and I will preach anything the Holy Spirit tells me to. But primarily, the pastor ought to preach things of that nature. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Let me say this about that. That some people have to grow into that. That does not mean that everybody that does not dress a certain way is not saved. I've heard preachers say, well, if you don't dress this way, you're not saved. No, well, let's take the Bible as it is. We're pruning people so that they might bear more fruit. Amen? And so, it is that one tomato plant might grow bigger than another tomato plant. And by the way, when you replace one thing, God will give you something else good to put back in its place. And I really believe that. I think that's where we miss it in the doctrine of separation. I think that we try to take away everything and yet not put something good back. Ladies, it is a glorious thing for you to dress like a lady and look like a lady. You'll feel so much better about yourself, because you'll be in the will of God. Men, it is so good when you look like a man and act like a man instead of looking like the world. Amen. But now that's enough about that. I'm just using that for example. Another example would be tithes and offerings. You know, we have a big dispute about that. And boy, you mention anything about that and people say, oh, the preacher's just after money. No, sir. No, sir. When you begin to get clean in the Word of God, you will understand that giving is a privilege. You will understand that giving is not something that you do giving is not something that you do, my friend, that God's dropped a burden upon you. But giving is something you do that will be a blessing to you. And so we find that the Word of God will it's going to prune you every once in a while. It's going to cut the dead limbs away from you. So let the Word of God do that. All right. Now I'm just use those two things for example. There are many others that we could use for example about that. I mean, well, let's just get into something right here. Sins of the heart, worrying. Oh my. When the preacher goes to preach on that, he's pruning me, boy. Amen. Yes, sir. And then there's bitterness. Uh-oh, we got to be careful about that. And then there's the tongue. Oh, my. Oh, my. And those are sins that bother me. Amen. Yes, sir. All right. So, you see now, anyway, pruning, so what did you be fit to bear fruit? And then it means that you're going to be clean ethically. You know, that's an interesting word there, and I just noticed it this morning in that definition when I was reading over this. Did you realize that the Bible will make you ethical? Do you realize the Bible will make you honest? Did you know we're living in a day and hour when people absolutely cheat just on everything? I mean, on their job, in their marriage, that little white lie won't hurt it. In other words, if you got a husband, maybe he don't like deer meat. And maybe he just don't like deer meat. And so the wife, to keep an argument down, she'll go mix deer with hamburger and not tell him about it. Did you know that's dishonest? That is dishonest that you do your husband that way. In other words, you want your husband to drink unsweetened tea, but he likes sweet tea. So you go and put the false sugar in there and trick him. That's dishonest. Did you know that? Why, the same way with a husband. But you'd be surprised at how many people are dishonest today. I mean, on their income taxes. Amen. Can I tell you something? Even you preachers, it's wrong to cheat on your taxes. Amen. It's wrong to cut corners. It's wrong for a church to cut corners. Did you know that? If you're building a building, it's wrong to cut corners with the building inspector and the county. Did you know that? Now, you don't hear this preached much, but folk, we have raised a generation of young people that believe that it's all right to tell a lie. And our philosophy is tell a lie now and ask forgiveness later. That's not what God said do. God said for us to be ethical. The Word of God will make you pure. For instance, if you go to a restaurant and you order a hamburger and they give you two hamburgers, you're at least supposed to try to make that right with them. You see what I'm saying? I never forget. I've told this story many a time on the radio, and God let it happen to me so that I can use it for other people. Several years ago, me and my wife were in a restaurant in a certain town. We were getting ready to plant. We'd already started to plant a New Testament church in that town. We went there for anniversary meal, and when we got through, we got to the counter over there, and I know what I ate that day, and I know what she ate that day, and we got over there, and the little lady rung that up and said it'll be $12. And I knew that wasn't right. And we paid it, and we started out the door, and I thought, something ain't right. I kept thinking about it. And I told my wife, I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, something's wrong with this. I said, this can't be $12. I said, whoa, whoa. So I go back over to the counter, and the lady's looking at me like, uh-oh, he's going to fuss me out. And I said, ma'am, there's something wrong with this. And boy, she thought, man, he's going to plow me at my hide. He's going to fuss me out. I said, ma'am, you didn't charge me enough money. I said, because I know what I ate. I know what she ate. And she looked at that ticket. She said, you're right, sir. I didn't put one of these on there. I said, well, ma'am, put it on there so I can pay. When I was paying her, I felt somebody tap me on the shoulder. If I'm remembering correctly, or walk up beside me, I think they tapped me on the shoulder. And I looked around, it's the owner of the restaurant. I never met him but one time. And he looked at me and he said, "Sir," he said, "I want to thank you for coming back." Well, can I say this to you? That's my Christian duty. That's what I should have done. Was, you know why? I've been cleaned by the Word of God. If I read the Word of God, I'm ethical. I don't lie. I don't tell lies about anything. Amen, you do. You just don't tell lies. You tell the truth. And I tell you why some of you people can't live for God. You can't live with yourself. You lay down at night and your conscience is going 90 miles an hour over the people you've cheated, the people you've lied to. You've lied to your children. You've lied to your husband. You've lied to your wife. You've lied on your job. You've cut a corner here. You've cut a corner there. Listen, just beyond the Bible teaches ethics and morality. Amen. It'll teach you not to cheat on your wife or husband. Amen. The Bible will teach you to be upright and moral. Amen. It teaches you. And when you're clean through the Word of God. And then when you're clean, another one is free from corrupt desire. Did you know if you stay in the Word of God, you won't have a desire for pornography? You'd be amazed across our country how pornography is getting people and hooking them. You'd be amazed if you could roll the curtain back of people that attend the Baptist church that is hung on pornography and nasty movies and things of that nature. I'm going to go a step farther. You'd be surprised at the preachers that are in that mess. And friend, what it boils down to is we're not living a life inside the Bible. We're not living a, we get a little, listen, a little devotion in the morning probably is not going to give you what you need. But you need the Word of God. You need the Bible. You need to be your rule book and your guidebook and your helper and your friend throughout the day. You see, it'll make you free from corrupt desire. Then it'll make you free from sin. Now, that does not mean a sin and guilt. Now, that don't mean that if you stay in the Bible, you will never sin. But I'll tell you this much. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The more Bible you put in your life, the less sin you will commit. The more Bible you put in there. You see, there's certain things that I can't do. I'm just going to be upfront with you. As a Christian, because the Bible says it's wrong. I can't go to the winery because the Bible says that's wrong. I can't drink wine and beer and liquor. The Bible says that's wrong. I can't put my name in for a drawing for a weed eater or at a church meeting. I'm surprised at churches now that are having drawings. Amen. That it's glorified gambling, folk. That's what it is. Amen. We're never to draw for anything as a Christian. By the way, they gambled. They cast lots for the robe that Jesus wore. Are we going to do the same thing the sinners did? You say, "I'd never play the lottery," but you put your name in for the drawing. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you're being Pharisaical." When you get in the Bible, it'll change your life. And you will want to live, but very few people want to live by the Bible. Oh, that must be such a hard life. Well, now notice the meaning of the word in the Greek here. It means to be free. Free from sin and guilt. I can lay down at night and not have a guilty conscience. If I don't cheat nobody, I don't have the burdens of that. If I don't look at something I'm not supposed to look at, I don't have to lay down at night and worry about doing my wife wrong and all that kind of thing. Amen. I don't have to have the guilt on me. I'm free from sin and guilt. The Word of God will free you from sin and guilt. Ain't that amazing? Now, the devil, he likes to put guilt on us. Amen. He likes to guilt us with things in our past. May I say that when you get in the Word of God, by the way, there's some of you can't do anything for God in the present because you're too busy worried about what happened in the past. My friend, it's past, okay? You failed God. I've failed God. Everybody's failed God. Let's live this day. I've lived something like 19,055 days or something like that. I don't remember the time of recording this, but I see every day as a new chapter in your life. Okay, maybe I failed God on the 18,976th day. Maybe I did. I don't know what I did that day. Maybe I did. But on the 19,056th day of my life or whatever, I can live for God. Every day's a new day. Let's get in the Word of God. Get free from the guilt. When you get clean from the Word, amen, read the Word of God. Study the Bible. And I'm not talking about being a Bible scholar, but stay in the Word of God. Amen. Get the Word of God in you. Then let me give you another meaning of this. It means free from every admixture of what is false. What about that? free from every admixture of what is false. Did you know that if you read this Bible, you won't have to worry about false religion? Now, I'm going to say this on the radio. I never encourage anybody to study a false religion to learn why it's false. You don't have to. If you will study enough of the real Bible, you will know. I know what I believe today. You know why? Because I've studied the King James Bible. And I know what it says about false religion. I know that Peter's not the first pope. I know that a certain fellas didn't see visions, amen, that God gave them an extra book of the Bible. I know that there is no prophet besides the Lord Jesus that rose up and had a great following after him. I know what my Bible says. I know that there's no such thing, my friend, as speaking in a bunch of gibberish and rolling around the floor and seeing some kind of vision and all that mess. Why? I read my Bible. I know there's no such creature as a woman preacher. Why? Because I read my Bible. You see, I know what's right. I know that Satanism is not right. I don't have to study that. Study the real thing. I'll give you this illustration until we've wore it out on the radio. All of my illustrations are old and wore out. I realize that. But old Johnny went off to FBI counterfeit school and he came back. And somebody asked him, said, Johnny, how about showing us a fake 100? He said, I've never seen one. They said, well, his buddy said, well, Johnny, show us a fake 50. He said, I have never seen one. They said, well, surely you've seen a $20 bill. They're common. What was a fake 20 look like? Johnny said, I have never seen one. And they said to him, why, Johnny, what in the world did you learn in FBI counterfeit school? He said, we studied the real thing. We didn't study false bills. We handled the real thing so much backwards, forwards, upside down, and inside out. And I know a fake bill when I spot one, when I would spot one, because it wouldn't be the real thing. Can I tell you I've been in the glory? Can I tell you I've been in old-time religion? Can I tell you I've been in the King James Bible? Can I tell you I've had enough prayers answered to know there's a God in heaven, to know that He's the Messiah, to know that He's the Savior of the world? Can I tell you that I have lived enough for God to know that this Bible is true? I've had enough things happen to know that this Bible is the Word of God without a doubt, my friend. And so when I get cleaned from the Bible, I know, spend your time in the Bible. Friend, if we'd spend our time in the Bible, instead of all this social media that's wasted, I wonder how much Bible have you read today compared to how much social media that you've been on today. It is sweeping. The devil knows how to kill our churches. And brother, you gotta get the dirt off if you want to live for God. You gotta get the dirt off. Amen. And then let me say this to you. This word means sincere, genuine. When you read the Bible, it will make you, my friend, sincere and genuine. Amen? You sure will. Amen? It will make you real. You want a real Christian, and you can spot these fake folk a mile away. But if you want a real Christian, get in your Bible. Don't live on emotions. Well, I feel, or God spoke to me. Let me tell you something. Be careful with what you say God speaks to you. I'm going to remind you again that the Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Holy Scriptures. Never, 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 never. And you need to read that Bible and know what it says. Amen? Then this word clean, this one word clean, now you are clean. It means blankness or innocent. Thank God you can be innocent, free from any kind of sin. Amen? It means unstained with the guilt of anything. I mean, when you read the Word of God, you'll realize that Jesus died for your sins and you are not guilty anymore. What about that? Ain't that a blessing? Now, I want to continue talking to you about being clean through the Word today, and I want you to take your Bibles, if you got one, to go with me to Exodus, chapter number 30. And I want to share something with you that will be a real blessing to you for the remainder of this message. In the tabernacle, Moses and Aaron, Moses was commanded to construct a laver. And that laver was a bowl, and it sat on a foot, and it had water in it. And that laver, the priest, they set that laver between the brazen altar and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest would go in there and wash. The priest would get soiled at that altar, offering sacrifices. And he would go over to that laver, and he would wash. And so he would be clean. So I want you to look at Exodus chapter number 30 with me, please, for just a minute. Exodus chapter 30, verse number 18. The Bible said, then shall the, excuse me, let me back up here in my reading. The Bible says in Exodus 30, 18, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. Now let's notice some things about this laver. Number one, let's notice that water is a type of the Word of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, and I believe that water to be the Word of God in John chapter number 3. And still water is a type of the Word of God. He said, what are you going to put in that laver? Water. Now the priest had to have a certain thing to wash their hands in. Water. Water. Nothing else besides water. Didn't say put grape juice in there. Didn't say put milk in there. Didn't say put any other liquid in there. It said water. Now my friend, for you to be clean, can I say this and not make anybody mad today? There's nothing wrong with reading books, but I'm going to tell you something. Did you know religion is the richest thing you can find today? There are people that are making multi-millions of dollars off of books today. There's a book on how to stay married. Of course, the man that wrote it's been divorced 3 times. There's a book on how to raise your children. And of course, the people that do that have no children. There's a book on how to have good health. And then that man dies from lung cancer from smoking cigarettes. I'm just simply telling you, listen, not all books are bad. But we have come to the place in this society, we'd rather read somebody's book besides the Bible. Well, preacher, I just can't get much sense out of the Bible. I need somebody to explain it to them. That's why you need, number one, you need preaching. And number two, if you can't get a lot of sense out of the Bible, could it be that you're lost and not saved? Let me say this to you, that I don't understand everything in the Bible, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is your teacher, and He will speak to you when you begin to get clean in the Word of God. And so the pure water of the King James Bible is what you need. I'm not going to argue the versions and all that with people. I find that there are two things about that. Number one, some people are willingly ignorant. They know what these new versions are. They're taken mostly out of perverted text. A lot of them come from the 1881 Westcott and Hort text, which was a perverted text. It's not the original Hebrew and Greek of the King James Bible. Secondly, there are people that were raised and they do not know the difference. They've never took time to study where the King James Bible came from. I encourage you to do that, okay? But here on this message, I don't have time for that today. But what I am dealing with is you need the pure Bible, and let the Bible be in you. There's nothing wrong with reading a book, but you make sure you read the Bible more than you read somebody's book, okay? Number two, I want you to notice the washing. Now look at this. This is very important. Exodus chapter 30, verse number 19. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. Now there's two things that they did. Aaron and his sons are the priest, and they're ministering at the altar, and they're offering the burnt sacrifices at that brazen altar. And there are two parts of their body, just two, that God, He didn't tell them to wash their ears. He didn't tell them to wash their head. He didn't tell them to wash their nose. He didn't tell them to wash their eyes. But there's two parts of the body. He said, wash hands and feet. Now watch this. Your hands are to be washed. That has to do with your work. Did you know that if you're not clean in this Bible, you cannot effectively work for God? Some of you preachers wonder why your work never goes anywhere. I'll tell you why. Your hands need cleaning. Amen. James said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. I mean, we get our hands dirty in this order. Your hands, your work. If you want to work for God, you got to know your Bible. Young man, if you're going to preach the Word of God, don't announce that you're a preacher. Don't even announce your call to preach. Don't do it unless you're going to study. You're saying, I feel that God's calling me. I'm telling you, don't announce it unless you're going to prepare for it. Don't announce it unless you're with. I mean, would you announce to the world I'm going to be a heart surgeon and never go to school for it? My friend, let me say this to you. You must be prepared. You must be skilled in the Word of God. That's why today that Brother Ricky is very cautious, and I know a lot of people don't like Brother Ricky, but listen, it ain't Brother Ricky. It's the Word that Brother Ricky preaches. A lot of people don't like. And now Brother Ricky loves every one of you. You keep that in mind. Brother Ricky loves you. But we are filling our churches today with unskilled men. These young 20 years, and if you're 20 year old and pastoring, I'm certainly not mad at you. Some men may be able to handle that, but Timothy, I believe, did at a young age. But as a general rule, we're going to have some men growing in the Bible. We need some people with their hands washed. We got Sunday school teachers that never open a Bible until Sunday morning. No wonder our Sunday schools are in such a mess across America. And by the way, pastors, you are not the Sunday school superintendent, but you, my dear friend, are the overseer of the Sunday school. The Bible said you're the overseer of the flock, not the Sunday school. So, but in our church, the Sunday, don't you neglect your duties by delegating everything. You still got some oversight there, and you need to look into it. Amen. Our children's programs. No wonder some of them are in the mess they're in. I mean, they don't clean their hands. They don't read the Bible. Then the second thing they clean is their feet. You got to wash your feet. Now, you know what that is? That has to do with your walk. Listen, you can't walk with God. Now, don't tell me you're close to God if you never get in the Bible. One man said to me, "Preacher, I want to know more about Jesus." I said, "All right, let's get in your Bible." Amen. That word, all 66 books, is Jesus talking to you all the way through it. You want to know what Jesus thinks. Somebody said, "Well, I believe that God understands." You ever heard that? "Well, I lay out of church on Sunday, and I believe God understands." Wait a minute. That tells me you ain't been talking to God. That tells me you ain't letting God talk to you. You see, when you're praying, you're talking to God, but when you're reading the Bible, that's God talking to you. Do you ever let God talk to you through the Scriptures? You know, we're living in a day when I'm finding this more and more. People feel like they're living right. People feel like in our churches as a majority that they don't need any changing. My friend, when you get to that place, you're done. I mean, you can't go any farther. When you get to the place to where you feel like that you don't need anything, that you got it all, you know it all, well then, there's nobody can help you. I mean, if you get to that, you need to humble yourself and realize you don't know it all. And you need to realize you do need some pruning, and you do need some changing, and you do, preacher, I do this and do that, but what do you not do? Amen. You need your feet washed. Amen. I'm talking about in the Word of God. I'm talking about you need a cleansing. You need to go to the laver and wash your hands for your work, and you wash your feet for your walk with God, and get all that sin out of your life where you can walk with God with a pure heart, you see. That's what they did. Now, let me show another thing about that laver. Number three, I want you to notice the dying. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about? The dying." All right, I want you to notice this. If they didn't wash, they died. Exodus chapter 30, verse number 20, the Bible said, when they go into the tabernacle of the, let me get my papers right, of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn, to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord. Verse number 21, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. God said this, if the priests don't come and they don't clean themselves, they're going to die. I'm going to kill them. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean spiritually? When you don't wash in the Word of God, you will die spiritually. You can say what you want to, but everybody around you can tell that you're not as spiritual as you make it like you are. You know, when you don't wash, you're going to die. When you don't wash, there are people right now that your work is dead. There are preachers right now that you might as well take a stick and beat on a tree for the effect that you're having on society, because your hands are dirty. You're into every kind of sin you can think of, and you need to get clean as a man of God. And then there's some of you, your walk, you have no testimony with the public. Your walk is so worldly and ungodly, and you died years ago spiritually. You're supposed to die out to self, not the spirit. But you're so dead. I mean, what did Jesus tell the church in Revelation? He said, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. I mean, friend, anything that's dead ought to be tucked in the graveyard and buried. Amen. Our spirit, I wish that God would stir people when they hear the messages of the Word of God like I'm preaching today, and would awake some people one by one in their spiritual lives. We need to be awakened on an individual basis. What we're doing is we're looking for a great revival at church. We're looking for a boom factor. We're looking to meet in a church or an auditorium somewhere and have some kind of big 18-week meeting. And by the way, I'm not against meetings that go long and all that. I'm not, somebody said, oh, he's just, no, sir. I'm for that. But I tell you what we need is some people awakening personally. We don't need a big boom. We need God to get a hold of some hearts personally. We need God to get a hold of some of the brethren and the sisters in our churches again and help us to realize that our feet need cleaning and our hands need cleaning. We're dead spiritually, man. And the reason for, did you know you'll die of dehydration? You get dehydrated, you die. Did you know that? Why, my friend, there's some of you, you have not drunk from the water of God's word in a year. You're saved, but you ain't, oh, preacher, I'm just so busy and I have to work. Why don't you lay some of that down? Well, preacher, I got to make a living. If you get in the Bible, you'd find that God will take care of your needs, friend. God is always, now God ain't give me everything I want. Now that's the problem today. We're striving for worldly gain. If you could ever get to the place that this world is not your home, if you could ever just get there, if you could ever just understand that this world is not your home, friend. Oh, my friend, it changed things. Now, number four, I want you to know something else about that laver. The laver had no dimensions. The laver had no dimensions. Amen. Did you know what? The word of God, if you study Isaiah 58, 9 through 11, the word of God's going to prosper where God sends it to. The word of God, you can't measure the word of God. You can't make it to fit your mold. The word of God will work when you think it ain't working. And sometimes a little seed here, a little seed there. Amen. Now I've got nothing wrong with preaching in an orderly fashion. But our young men today across America are being taught that if they don't preach a certain way from the scriptures, and if all their points are not alliterated, and I'm not mad about that, okay, if you want to alliterate your points, that's fine. But I'm going to say this to you, that's not the key to Bible preaching. The key to Bible preaching is, number one, preach the Word of God, but number two, have the Holy Ghost on whatever you're preaching. Have the power of God upon what you're preaching. And I promise you, the Word of God will go forward and you will touch lives. I remember several years ago, me and a friend of mine were in the jailhouse witnessing to the prisoners. And we had this man, my friend was dealing with him, and he couldn't get anywhere with this guy. And so finally started to walk off, and the man sitting behind him had never said a word. And the man looked up and he said, "Hey, sir, I'd like to have what you're talking about right there." And he bowed his head and received Jesus Christ as his Savior right there in the jail, meaning probably 35 years ago. Can I say this to you, friend? Maybe not that long, 33 years ago. Can I say this to you, friend, that, hey, are you listening to me? Can I say this to you, friend, that we as God's people never know where we're sowing the seed? You never know when you hand that track out. You don't know the dimensions of the Word of God. You don't know how broad that Word of God, preacher. I know how you feel sometimes. You go to the pulpit and you feel less than a man that struck out. You feel like you struck out, broke the bat, and hit the umpire. I mean, man, you feel lower down than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. And you go home fussing at God and telling God that if you ever preach again, you don't know if you'll ever go back to church or not. And then that fire begins to burn. I was down there the other day, had a fire going. We got her real hot, boy. And I watched that fire spread, and it's burning them brush pile limbs. And I got thinking about that, how fire spreads. I got thinking, if one person would get on fire in their life. By the way, husband, if you just didn't say a word to your wife, never said a word to her. But if you got on fire with the Bible in your life, she'd watch you and she'd get on. Don't go in and try to get your wife to say, "Well, you need to pray, you need to study, you heathen." Don't do that. It don't work that way. Wife, don't do that to your husband. You just get on fire and you watch them get on fire. You say, "Boy, I sure wish my husband would get in there for the Lord." How on fire are you? You're sitting around watching the soap operas and all this garbage on television. Are you sitting around on social media all the time? No wonder he don't go to church. You say, "I wish my wife would go to church with me." Are you race carring all the time and hunting all the time? Where's the prayer? Where's the Bible reading? You see, we get down to it now. Amen. Let's just get down and fix the problem. The problem is we need to be clean. The problem is we need to be like this laver. Amen. We need to go to, they had no dimensions. Amen. We need to go to the laver. Amen. They had to go to that laver every day. I got to go to that Bible every day. Amen. I mean, man, if you miss reading your Bible one day, you've missed a blessing, boy. God's wanting to show you something that day in the Bible. I mean, you've missed a blessing. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Clean, clean, clean. Amen, clean. Number five. I want to show you something here. Number five. And I hope this will help you on number five. I want to show you the making of the laver. The making of the laver. Number five. Exodus chapter number 38 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass." And watch this. "Of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now I want you to notice what he made these this laver out of. He made the laver out of these women that are assembled at the door of the tabernacle had looking glasses or mirrors. Now they didn't have mirrors like you and I have today. They had brass. And what they would do, they would polish that brass where they could see themselves in that brass. That means they'd fix their hair, whatever they need to do. And when it came time for them to make the laver, the thing that held the water for the priest to wash with, what a lowly thing. What a lowly, lowly, humbling thing. Guess what he made out of those women's? Their mirrors, their looking glasses. Now you say, "Preacher, what's the moral to that? What is the truth to that?" The truth to that is this, those women. Now a woman's beauty and a woman's hair is her glory. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and say this, a woman's long hair is her glory. And this worldliness, amen, that women ought to look like boys, that is, you need to read the Bible again. I'm not mad. I mean, if you preach anything at all today, you're out there because society just ain't with it. They think the shorter a woman wears her hair and the longer a man wears his hair, and it's absolutely in reverse, amen. A man's hair ought to be short and a woman's hair ought to be long by the Bible. And these women gave up their glory for God's glory. They took these looking glasses and gave them up, and the priest or the men that made the laver, they made it out of these looking glasses. They gave up their glory for God's glory. And by the way, they probably thought, "Boy, that's a lowly thing. The priest's going to wash his hands out of our mirrors." Hey, can I tell you something right now? You'll never do anything for God till you give your glory up for His. There are many people across America right now, and all they seek is glory. And I have fell into that myself, amen, as a preacher. I thought, why in the world don't I get to preach here and don't get to preach there? Why, there's men a lot younger than me, and man, they're preaching in these places, and I've been preaching for years, and boy, I sure would. And there are some places I'd like to preach. I ain't gonna lie about it. I ain't gonna call names on the radio. There are some places that I'm thinking of two places right now, really, that I'd love to preach at before I die. There's two places I'd love to preach at, maybe more than that before I die. But wait a minute. I'm not gonna do anything to get there. I've realized that it's not my glory, it's God's glory. And if God wants me to preach somewhere, God will put me somewhere. And if God wants me to preach to radio, and that's what God wants, and the devil comes by sometime, well, you ain't got to. If it wasn't for that radio, you'd get you a church, and that radio's hindering you. Let me tell you, I love this radio. Lester Roloff said he reached more people, he's seen more people get saved by him preaching on radio than he did in his meetings. That's what he said. He started in 1944 preaching on radio. Let me tell you about radio. Radio's an open door. I don't know how much longer it's going to be open. I don't know how much longer the audio is going to be open in America. I don't know. I mean, listen, we'd better take advantage of it right now. We better take advantage of listening to preaching right now while we got time. I have no idea what's going to take place. But I know this, I want to be clean through the Word of God. And I want to give my glory up for God's glory. Amen. I mean, listen, I don't want to get glory out of preaching. Somebody said, "Oh, Cawthorn's a good preacher." No, sir, I'm not a good preacher. I'm just doing what God's told me to do. God set me behind this microphone. That's why God made me blind. God set me here so that I can help you. And if I can be a help to people, and I've got people listening to me all over, if I can help you. And by the way, can I just go ahead and say this? My goal is never to hurt you on the radio. My goal is never to come on this radio and make you feel bad or make you feel like that I'm better than you. I promise you I'm not better than you. And I promise you that I'm not a better Christian than you are. I promise you that. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. I have trouble out of my flesh just like you do. But I want to be clean through the Word. You'd be surprised down through the years how much heartache and trouble that it saved me by being clean in the Word of God. Years ago, I read Proverbs chapter number 6 about the adulterous woman. And several years later, I mean, listen, the devil all your life, he'll send people by. He'll send things by in your life. And brother, as a young man, if you ain't careful, and boy, you got to fight things. And then, I mean, other things, worldliness and getting, you know, one reason I didn't drink and fight and cuss, and I knew the Bible said that wasn't right when I got saved. Listen, but I want to give my glory. I want to do what I can. By the way, serving God is not what you choose to do. It's what God chooses to do with you. And these women had their looking glasses. No doubt they love their mirrors. They love their looking glasses. But let me say this to you. There come a day when those looking glasses were needed for something else. There are people that have given their life for this word of God. There's people that have given their life so that you can stay clean. And I think about every military soldier that's ever got killed in battle. In effect, he has given or she has given their life for our freedom here in America. Somebody had to die that you and I are free in America. I'm telling you, you got enemies out there right now that will have taken us over and do away with our Bible right now. You got other religions, and we're embracing all these religions. And what you don't know is they'd love to come in right now and try to do away with your Bible. They would. They don't have the same desire you do. Well, the mirror of the Word of God. James deals with that in the book of James. Amen. He says this. He says this in James 1:23. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He said this. He said, if you go to church, and you sit there and you hear the Bible preached, and you hear it, you say, well, okay, and you go out and you never do anything about it. He said, you're like a man looking in a mirror. You forget your hair's out of place, you forget about it. Listen, but we're not to be a forgetful hearer. We're to be a doer of the Word of God. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a doer of the Word? Do you want to be clean in the Word of God? Do you want to start in your Bible? I wish that this message would challenge somebody to start getting in your Bible every day and talking to God. I'm going to tell you what's going to bring revival to America is an individual getting on fire for God. I don't believe it's going to be a crowd of people. I believe it's going to be an individual here. And then when the individual gets on fire, the crowd will get on fire. You'll be surprised what will change your church if you will get on fire for God. One person can change. One little spark of fire can change anything. Amen? It sure can. Did you know there were some kids playing with some matches and set a big fire one day? And that fire got bigger and bigger and bigger. It burnt houses down. It burnt other properties down. It almost destroyed a whole town. They got playing with fire. Now, I'm not saying the Word of God destroyed things, but the Word of God, you ever studied that in the book of Acts? And I'd like to know more about that, where it said the Word of God grew. Now, I know you can't add to the Word of God. That ain't what it's talking about at all. But let me say this to you. The Word of God will grow where you let it. Did you know water follows the path of least resistance? Did you know that? Did you know water is not going to struggle to climb a hill? It's going to go the opposite direction, whatever's easiest for it. Let me ask you a question today, friend. You got all this stuff in your life. God can't get in with the Bible because you're too busy with social media. God can't get in with the Bible because you're too busy running to and fro trying to be popular in the preaching world. I'm going to tell you right now, you can play politics or you can study the precepts. And I'm going to study the precepts. I know that I'll probably never preach where some men have. And I'm well aware of that. And by the way, when I do go preach, I'm not going to tire people's churches up. People say, oh, we're afraid to get Catherine. We're afraid of what he might say. I promise you this, the pastor's the pastor. But I'm not going to compromise, but I'm not one to come in to tire things down. But I'm going to say this. I've made my mind up. I don't know how much longer I got to live. I hope a while. But I will not compromise the Word of God to get places to preach and to get revival meetings and to get handshakes and to be in somebody's circle. Can I say that I love all you preachers? I pray for preachers all the time. Different states. I've got lists to preach. Some of you don't even know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for one man I'm thinking of right now. I have never met the man in my life. I just heard him on the radio and picked his name up. And I said, I'm going to start praying for this guy. And I'm praying for him. Now listen, what I'm going to tell you is this. The Word of God is something that we need to be doers of. I want to be clean in the Word. I want to know my Bible. If we could get a generation of young people again to know your Bible. Young preacher, if we could get you instead of trying to climb the rungs of the ladder of success, if you would know your Bible and let God use you. And I'm going to close with this statement right here to you preachers. And I may say other things, but I'm going to close this statement to the preachers. There's a difference in God using you and man using you. And I want to be used of Almighty God. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a legalist. I'm not trying to raise a fuss. I just want to be used of God Almighty in this day. When I was in that little Sunday school class, sitting in the basement of the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle over 40 years ago, about 40 years ago, 40 years ago, a dear preacher, missionary brother, called on me. He's a missionary now, but back in them days, the first man ever called on me to pray in public. And I used to end my prayer with, "Lord, lead, guide, and use me." And down through the years, God has used me. I've not been what I ought to be, and I'll face the Lord for that. And I'm like a dear friend of mine said the other day. He said, "I wonder, will I be ashamed at the judgment seat?" And the answer for me is, yes, I'm going to be. I've wasted so much time. I understand that. But friend, are you clean in the Word of God? Would you start today? How many of you right now would, just if you're listening to me, just raise your hand to God and say, "Preacher, I'm going to start in the Word of God. I'm going to start, God sees those hands. Preacher, what about you? I'm going to start now and get me a daily." You say, "A preacher, every preacher's got a daily Bible reading." You'd be surprised. Oh, friend, I've went a long time. Did you know I'm ashamed to tell you how many times I've only read my Bible through in 41 years of being saved. I've only read it through something like 7 or 8 times. That's an absolute disgrace to God. Oh, preacher, would you start? Young person, housewife, lady, would you start today and get you a Bible life? And I promise you, you'll be a better Christian for it, okay? "Then, sinner, if you're not saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Would you bow your head today and be saved? Father, I really thank you for letting me preach this message. I love you. Help us to God. I need my feet washed, and I need my hands washed. The feet's the work, the feet's the walk, the hands is the work. And, oh God, help me today. Help every person that heard my voice today. May people be saved and people be stirred. In Jesus' name. Amen.